If you were here last Sunday, and I wasn't here, you probably noticed that today's scripture reading is in part the scripture that you heard last week. And looking at last Sunday's bulletin, I noticed that the sermon title indicated that your guest preacher probably preached on part of this text. So it's not my intention this morning to repeat what you may already have heard last Sunday, but I would like to apply these words of Jesus, especially to the three young people who have made their confession of faith today, and apply them to all of us who have committed ourselves to live the Christian life. As I was preparing the message, I was especially thinking of you, Talia, Carolyn, and Jeffrey, who I have enjoyed teaching the last couple of months in the confirmation class. But I encourage all of you to listen to what I have to say. Jesus is telling his disciples that they still have much more to learn, and that after he leaves, the Holy Spirit will come to remind them of what he has already taught them. You know, we all forget. And then this Holy Spirit will continue to teach them new truth. I've had the privilege of teaching you about some of the important things that we believe about God and about the church, and how we should practice the holy habits of reading the Bible and praying each day and giving and serving others. But there are a lot of things for you yet to learn. And not just because you are young, but this applies to all of us. Whatever our age, whether we're 11 or 12 or a teenager or a young adult or 40 or 65 or 85, it doesn't matter. The Christian life is a lifelong learning experience. We should never stop learning as Christians. There are no graduations in the church as we might graduate from the eighth grade or from high school or from college. The Christian faith involves lifelong learning. Jesus says in the text, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth." Now, I suspect that you would not appreciate a sermon that began like this. "You know, there are things that you should know about the Christian faith, but I can't speak of them right now because you wouldn't understand. They're way over your head." That wouldn't be a very nice thing to say. Those of you in the confirmation class would probably have been a little upset if I had told you that you weren't smart enough to understand the things I wanted to teach you, that you needed to wait until you got a little older. But in our Bible reading today, Jesus says something like that to his disciples as he's preparing them for the day when he will no longer be with them to teach them. But then he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. The fact of the matter is that there are many things that we don't understand about our lives and about our world and about God, whatever our age. Did you ever think of making a list of all the questions you'd like to ask God when you get to heaven? God, why did you send those deadly tornadoes and storms upon the earth? Why was there so much suffering in the world? Why did young people die? Why are some people so evil? God, where did you come from? Why did you make me the way I am? A long time ago, there lived a man named Socrates. He was a great teacher in his time, and some regarded him as the smartest person who ever lived. But as part of his teaching, Socrates said that the one thing he did know was that he knew little or nothing. What he meant was that he was smart enough to know that he didn't know everything. Jesus tells his disciples they don't know everything, but that's okay. He taught them what they needed to know while he was with them, but their learning would not stop when he left them. He would send the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who would continue to teach them. And by the way, the word disciple means learner. In a way, it's reassuring that we don't have to know everything when we become a Christian. And because we can never know everything about God, we can know that God is bigger and more awesome and more loving than we can ever understand. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That doesn't mean that we should be afraid of God, but that we should recognize the limits of our knowledge and know that God is bigger than us. I read a story about a student who one day walked into an Orthodox church. You know, one of those churches that usually has an onion-shaped golden dome on the top? The insides of Orthodox churches are usually very ornate. The student walked into this sanctuary, which was lavishly decorated with gold and rich colors. He found himself surrounded by fascinating icons or images of the face of Jesus and of the saints. He saw various symbols of the Christian faith that he didn't have any idea what they meant. There were many lighted candles, and the smoke of the incense was almost overpowering. The liturgy and the music were mystifying. He was totally confused and overwhelmed. But when he came out of the service, his reaction was, "Wow, that was great. I didn't understand a thing, but I want to know more." You see, we don't have to understand everything. Sometimes we just need to be surprised and awed and amazed. Maybe loving God begins with the sheer delight of realizing that we exist. Who is this God that made us? It begins with gratitude for all the wonderful things that God has made. And then to know that God loved us so much that he came here to share our human life with us in the person of Jesus. And to know that he loved us so much that he was willing to die for us. And then to know that God is always near to us in the Holy Spirit. There are some things in life and about life that we will never learn in Sunday school or confirmation class or even in sermons. But maybe later, as we go on in life, when we come to those places in life where we are ready to learn them, or when we ask the right questions, or when the situation is right, then we will know more of the truth. That's the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Christian discipleship is being a learner. There's something new to experience every day. The whole truth about God is too much for us to take in all at once. It's a continuing process. And thank God we don't have to pass a comprehensive exam to become a Christian. We just begin where we are and we learn as we go along. Now, it's a little different in other things in life that we might have our education in school. If you want to become a lawyer, there are a lot of things you have to learn about the law before you can practice being a lawyer, before you can go into a courtroom and argue a case before a judge. Or if you want to become a doctor, you first have to complete all kinds of courses in medical school and pass hard tests and be licensed before you're allowed to go in and perform brain surgery. But that's not exactly the way the Christian life works. We learn as we go along. Jesus says the Spirit of truth will continue to teach you. A Christian will want to keep learning and growing and changing and sometimes be proven wrong as the Holy Spirit reveals new truth. For example, it wasn't too long ago that the church in the United States came to the realization that slavery should no longer be accepted, despite its centuries-long practice that it was based on some biblical passages that seemed to suggest that slavery was okay. But then the Holy Spirit guided the church into new truth. As the world changes, so our practice of the Christian faith must change as we meet new realities and the challenges of modern life. I think sometimes we pretend that living the Christian life is easy. It's not. We try to attract people into the church by giving the impression that they don't have to do very much. But being a Christian really involves a lifelong commitment of learning and growing. And the Holy Spirit can even turn some of our mistakes into something good. I want to assure you that God accepts our humanity. He doesn't keep us from being His disciples. And that God even uses our weaknesses and our flaws and our failures to His glory. There is an apocryphal story told about Jesus when he returned to heaven after his life here on earth. He was greeted by the angels and the archangels, Gabriel and Michael. They were all giving him hugs and pats on the back, and they wanted to hear all about how things were on earth. And Jesus said, "I have entrusted my mission, the mission of God's kingdom, to my followers on earth." The angels gasped and said, "You did what? You entrusted your entire mission to mere mortals? What if they fail?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "I have no other plans." You see, our Lord has confidence in us, even though we don't know everything, even though we're human, even though we're slow learners. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we continue to learn and be empowered to do the work of Jesus on earth. We've been chosen. The Bible tells us that we are the temples of the Holy Spirit and stewards of the mysteries of God. Jeffrey, Talia, and Carolyn, you have been chosen. With all of us, you've been chosen to do the work of God using the gifts that God has given you. You have a lot more to learn, as do we all. But you're not on your own. The Holy Spirit will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. Now to Him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.